church office telephone rang one morning. The pastor picked up the phone and answered. On the other end, he heard this gentleman say, "Pastor, this is Leroy. Just want to let you know, Gertrude and I are praying about leaving the church." To that, the pastor said, "Well, Leroy, tell Gertrude that makes three of us." Amen. Can you get a witness? Now, we don't want that kind of telephone call anytime soon. That sounds like division there, or disunity. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hope everybody, like Chris said, got some leftovers. My wife made a mean sweet potato casserole as well, so that was good. We ate some last night in her dressing, but like I told Brother Terry there, I was careful. I tried to be careful. It's all a numbers game, isn't it, with your health? Blood sugar numbers, blood pressure numbers, prostate numbers, all those things will bless your heart, won't they? So you got to keep those numbers in line. Inside your bulletin's a little insert that deals with today's message. I trust you'll find that. And so you got room on that side and a full page on the back for some notes. This is another one of those messages for you today that's very timely, very relevant, and I pray it'll be very helpful. What makes the church the church? I imagine if everybody was truthful this morning and honest, when you think about Park Place Baptist Church, or when you think about the term church kind of in general, if we were all honest this morning, truthful, when you think about Park Place Baptist Church, you probably think most of the time about this location and this building. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is this building that we call Park Place Baptist Church. This is a church building, and it does have a location. So there's nothing wrong with that, but the church is not these bricks and mortar, these stained glass windows, these padded pews. But Park Place Baptist Church is every person that's on the pews. The last church that I pastored full-time before retiring in 2018 was in Lincolnton. Was there 14 years. And just prior to going there, on a Sunday afternoon, about 1 o'clock or a little after 1 o'clock, they were going to have a 2 o'clock ordination service. But that Sunday afternoon, a little after 1, a horrendous storm came through the area, and lightning struck the building. They'd had a television ministry up to that point, had a lot of wires there up in the sound room and the TV, the cameras. And so it hit on that end of the church and just ignited the church. In fact, it kind of made an explosive kind of sound, and the fire trucks from in the area came, but the building was destroyed completely by fire. When we Joyce and I got there, it was still standing because it was brick, the brick part, kind of like looking across here at the old Kern Street School. Kind of that eyesore look. You could see where everything was just destroyed by fire. On windy days, you could still smell the stench of smoke. We eventually knocked it down. For 2 years, we were in a makeshift sanctuary. 2 years later, we rebuilt a beautiful new structure. But that Sunday afternoon, at that time, they had an interim pastor like you do. He called the church together out on the lawn and reminded them that the building that was destroyed by fire was really not the church. He reminded them that you're the church. So if this building were destroyed, God forbid that happen, but if this building were destroyed during the night tonight and tomorrow, or sometime before you got news of the destruction of this building, the church, Park Place Baptist Church, would still be here because you're and we are the church. So let's look today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I believe one of Paul's great chapters in all the Bible. Let me give you kind of a couple outlines, breakdowns of the chapter. If you want to take your pen there, maybe between verses, or make your note there on your sheet. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, there is one Lord. Verses 12 through 31, the biggest part of the chapter, verses 12 through 31, there is one body. And then verse 25, there's one danger. Now, there are two words today I want us to concentrate on. Two words that are absolutely significant, essential, important. You're the church. You who are sitting on the pews, you're the church. You're Park Place Baptist Church. This building is our church house, but you're the church. And so there are two words that I want you to grab hold of this morning. Number one is the word unity. In verses 1 through 11, we find the word unity as we find this thought, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, G-I-F-T, singular, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to look at verses 1 through 11 in detail. I'm just giving you this to give you this reminder. We're going to concentrate this morning beginning in verse 12. But unity is found in verses 1 through 11, the gift of the Holy Spirit that each and every one of us received at the moment of conversion. The very moment you got saved, when your conversion was a reality, and I believe Brother Richard brought this out in a great lesson this morning, you received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He, not it, but He, third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, came into your life to take up permanent residence. At that moment, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. And no, that doesn't mean speaking in tongues or any kind of a second blessing. You were baptized into the body of Christ. That's right here in 1 Corinthians 12. And you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked as God's property, sealed until the day of redemption. All of that happened at the very moment of your salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's the second word I want you to write down. Not only unity, but diversity. Diversity. In verses 12 through 31, we see the diversity, and that is the gifts. That's plural, G-I-F-T-S, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, just for an idea of this unity and diversity, look at verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant there, Paul is not being insulting. He's being informing. It means lack knowledge, lack of knowledge. So the diversity part is the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. So notice there on your sheet, what is this all about? What makes the church the church? Specifically, and for relevancy, for our situation that is at hand. Again, all that you've been through is in the past. We're now sitting here on Sunday, November 28th, and let's focus on the future while we're in ministry now. Here's why it's timely. Here's why it's relevant. What makes Park Place Baptist Church Park Place Baptist Church? It's unity and diversity. So notice there on your sheet, number one, Paul compares the body of Christ, the church, the true church, and its many spiritually gifted members to the human body with this many physical members or parts. Now, as you sit there today, kind of glance about and consider, as you're sitting there on that pew, your human physical body. As you look up here and see mine somewhat in this very bright spotlight that I'm looking at up there above, that's a bright spotlight. You just can't really look at that directly or you'll lose your focus. That thing is bright. And you're seeing old Andy Royals, all 72 years old of him. Now, you're not looking at half of me, and the other half is somewhere out there ready to come in. You're seeing me, and you're seeing what you get. All of Andy Royals in one body. And where you're sitting there today, in your unity, your unified human physical body. But if you thought lately, how many parts, diverse, different, various kind of parts make up your one body? Everybody look at your hands. Interesting. Imagine your life without your hands. Terry, you and I couldn't have shot that basketball. You couldn't be able to write down your note. Your hands, look at your hand. You got fingernails. You got thumbs. You got fingers. Fingernails around your fingernails or cuticles. Continue on there from your neck up. You have your head. Look at all the parts that comprise your head. Diversity, yet unity. All your parts that are outward, that are visible, but what about, have you thought lately about all your diverse parts that are inward, that are not visible? Imagine trying to live without your heart and your lungs. And the miles and miles of blood vessels and capillaries and all of these amazing things, you have one human body, one unified body with many diverse parts. So notice there in verse 12. Paul again compares the body of Christ, the church, the true church, which you and I are part of if you're saved. And by the way, you're all members of Park Place Baptist Church. This is this local church. But the day you got saved, the moment you got saved, and the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ, you become part of the mystical, universal body of Christ known as the church. The church of Jesus Christ is worldwide. Every person in every country, every land, every nation, every tongue, every person, black, white, doesn't matter. Every saved believer is part of that mystical body, the church. So right here, this is a local body. But you're also part of the church, the universal church. So what is it that makes the church the church? Notice verse 12. First main point, each member in both bodies, that is, Paul comparing the human body to the church, perform a vital task. Look at verse 12, there in your Bibles. For as the body is one, he's talking about now the human body. You're sitting there with one body. It's unified. For as the body is one and hath many members, again, think of all your body parts. Now think about this church. I see many members. I pray the day will come, I'll look out and see many more members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Unity, diversity. Look how the verse ends. So also is Christ. So also is the body of Christ. Just like your body is one body, one unified body, yet it has many members or parts, outward and inward, visible, invisible, many members, so is the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit, capital S, that's Holy Spirit, and there's only one Holy Spirit, not two, not three, not many. For by one Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Again, strict interpretation. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. This is the first century church. This is the beginning of the church. And who comprises the church? All who are saved, whether they're Jews or Gentiles. They became one body. That wall of partition was broken down. Jesus fulfilled the law. So Jews and Gentiles became part of the same body, the body of Christ. But now as we race forward to 21st century, let me tell you this morning, that has not changed. There's only one body, only one church, and that's the body of Christ. So he says, notice, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So again, it's not referring to speaking in tongues, not speaking of some second blessing. This spiritual baptism happens at the moment of conversion, the moment you got saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You know, think this morning, this Holy Spirit baptism places every believer into the body of Christ the moment of conversion. Think for a moment again back to your human body, your physical body. The basic unit of our human physical body is known as the cell. C-E-L-L. Have you ever thought about how many cells your body has? How many we lose and then regain? Each individual cell comes complete with a copy of the master plan that controls this particular function in the body. It's an amazing thing that God, what God has created, our human bodies. His master blueprint is amazing. I mean, when's the last time you've really given thought to your human body and how it is made, how God has designed it to function as it functions? The blueprint is carried in large chemical molecules known as DNA. You hear a lot about DNA these days when it comes to criminal investigations and using DNA to designate a criminal. It's our individual DNA that tells the cellular components how to behave. It is this DNA code that makes us distinctly different from everyone else. Have you ever thought about this lately? That there's no one that has ever had and there's no one that will have the same fingerprint as you. Your fingerprint is completely unique. My wife and I, we're becoming as one, 52 years of marriage, but her fingerprint and mine are distinctly different. No one has ever had nor ever will have your fingerprint. It's this DNA code that makes us, as we are, distinctly different from anyone and everyone else. Such is the mystical body known as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are distinctly different as a member of the body of Christ. So notice verse 18 with this first thought. Each member in both bodies perform a vital task. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Do you know today why you have the spiritual gift that you have? And if you're saved, you've got at least one spiritual gift. Some of us may have a few spiritual gifts. God gave you your spiritual gift as it pleased Him. God gave you your spiritual gift for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve in His church, His body. Just like your body has many different parts that function individually, but also in unity. Park Place Baptist, you're here for a reason. God has placed you here and given you your spiritual gift as it pleased Him. And so, number one, you have a task to perform based on how He has gifted you. Now, let's get into the meat of the message. Notice, secondly, no member in either body can be independent of the other members. Now, this is interesting. Come now to verse 14. Stay with me now. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. I mean, how many members do we have? Nobody really knows, but certainly we have many. I mean, just think of all the parts. My wife has to go see her eye doctor regularly. I see mine every 6 months. Do you realize how intricate, how many parts of your eye allow you to see what you're able to see? What they kind of compare it to a camera. All the inner parts of your ear that allow you to hear. I mean, we couldn't count how many different body parts we have. When you break it down, it's incredible. Look at verse 15. Now here's the meat of the message. If the foot shall say, and Paul, I can kind of see Paul with his tongue in cheek, just a little bit humorous, but he's making a very serious point. Look at verse 15. Here is the meat of all of this. What makes the church the church? What makes the church function as the church? Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Our feet today covered by our socks and our shoes. And when we take those off, we don't want anybody around us because usually they give off some kind of a stench. Can you get a witness right there? Covered over by socks and shoes and pretty well hidden. So Paul is saying, would our feet ever look up and shout and say, since I'm not the hand that's outwardly visible and maybe seemingly more active, am I not of the body? Isn't that ludicrous? Because our feet and our hands, although they're very diverse, they're part of our unified body. Look at verse 16. And if the ear shall say, behold, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And the answer is implied, absolutely not. Sure, it's part of the body. Paul speaks here of the diversity. Imagine your big toe on either foot hidden in your sock. And by the way, how many this morning would be willing to give up your big toe? Have you thought about what your toes do? Your toes give your body what? Balance. They're rather important. Although hidden in our socks and shoes. Here in verse 16, the ear is rather ugly outwardly compared to the eye. The eye with its beautiful colors, brown, blue, green, whatever their colors are. The human eye is amazing, but so is the human ear. Both are wonders of creation. Both are part of the body, of our human body. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, here I can really see Paul with his tongue in cheek. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you imagine this morning while I'm preaching, right here in the next few moments, we hear the doors open, and in walks a great big eye. From top to bottom, we see walking in. I don't know how it would be clothed. That's what Paul's saying right here in verse 17. Look at it again. If the whole body were an eye, just one big eye from top to bottom, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? You see, the eye doesn't hear, the eye sees, the ear doesn't see, but the ear hears. But listen, try to get along without one or the other. Look what he says. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? What if a few moments later, after that whole big eye walked in the door, what if a few moments later in walked one big ear? That one big eye, how would it hear? That one big ear, how would it smell? Look at verse 19. But now hath God set the members... Excuse me, that's verse 18 that we just read. Look at verse 18. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So he's hypothetically giving you some rather ridiculous examples. If you were just one big eye, you wouldn't be able to hear or smell. If you were one big ear, you wouldn't be able to see or smell. If your big toe thought it wouldn't need to be part of the body because it didn't get to do what the hands got to do, but one body, many members, makes my body function. Park Place, your spiritual gifts are here to help this church function. So now Paul begins now to bring it into focus. Look at verse 20. He's coming now down to stretch. He's bringing this analogy into focus. He looks at the human body and says, just like the human body is unified, one body, yet it has diversity, many members, so is the body of Christ, the church. So look at verse 20. Here he's bringing it to reality. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Straight to the point. Many members, one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, because the point is, the truth of the matter is, we need all of our parts to make up our body. Sometimes people with various diseases have to have things called amputation. Maybe with diabetes, end up losing a toe or a foot or even a leg. That becomes very difficult when that person loses some of those body parts. So it is with the church. All of the parts, all the members are important. Look at verse 22. Nay or no, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or not as important or what are necessary. Is there any part of your body you'd want to give up? Not in your right mind. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. They all work together. The visible, the invisible. The parts we think are less honorable or less important, in actuality, they're all important. Again, back to the big toe, sitting down there on both of our feet, hidden in our socks and shoes, sometimes giving off a stench. Those big toes are important. They give your body balance. Don't take them for granted. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. In other words, God has designed your human body for a purpose. Every part has significance. So again, notice verse or number three, no member in either body can be independent of the other members. They all work together. They all function. One body, unity. Many members, diversity. So number four, notice. Number four, each member in both bodies is to rejoice and suffer with the other members. Wow. That's an important one. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. You know what that means? There should be no schism in the body. That's Leroy calling the pastor and saying Gertrude and I are praying about leaving. Schism means division. Schism can mean maybe cliques. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Underline that in your body. What makes the church is that everybody cares for one another. Can you get a witness right there? I'll take a holy grunt. Some of y'all look like a bump on a Rolaid sitting there. Amen. Alert your face, you're in church. Some people look like they want to be getting out instead of enjoying being there. Can you get a witness? Care for one another. That's why you have a prayer sheet. That's why you're made aware of people with great needs. That's what makes the church the church. Look at verse 26. Circle this verse. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. How many has ever stumped your big toe? Can I get a witness? Raise your hand. You ever stumped your big toe? When you stump your big toe, maybe hit it at nighttime and it's dark and you try to go to the bathroom. You ever try to get up, by the way, and maneuver around without light? You might think you know that room, but you just try it often enough. You're going to stump your big toe. And when you do that, it affects your whole body. You hurt all over. That's what Paul's saying here. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. We go through it together. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it when that person is honored. That's what makes the church the church. Verse 27. Kind of his theme verse for this chapter. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Park Place Baptist Church, you are the body of Christ right here, and you are members in particular. Verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles. Well, I believe the apostles aged out with the first century. There were only 12 and only 12. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. See all of that? Diversities. Various gifts. Verse 27, are all apostles? There's an implied answer. No! Not all apostles. Are all prophets? Implied answer, no. Are all teachers? Implied answer, no. Are all workers of the miracles? Implied answer, no. Not all. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues or languages? No. Do all interpret? No. Various gifts. Diversity. But he gives the last verse of the chapter. Verse 31. Good advice for all of us. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And by the way, this 12th chapter carries over straightforwardly into chapter 13. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And in chapter 13, you'll find what the best gift is. So notice the application. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where we answer the question, what makes Park Place Baptist Church? Park Place Baptist Church. What is your spiritual gift? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you're saved, you've got at least one. I've pastored people through these over 40 years that didn't have a clue. Probably for many of them, they didn't know what their spiritual gift is because they didn't have one, because they were a lost church member. I've pastored many through the years who were unsaved church members. But if you're saved today, you've got at least one spiritual gift. Do you know your spiritual gift, what it is? But then notice the next question. Knowing what your spiritual gift is one thing. Are you using your spiritual gift? And God gave you your spiritual gift for one reason only, not to edify self, but to help edify or build up His church. That's why every member is important. We all work together. Unity with diversity. Did that make sense? Do you realize today you're the church? This building, we call it the church. But this building could be non-existent tomorrow, yet the church would still be here because you're the church. The people. And God has given you your spiritual gift to help do the work of the ministry. When all suffer, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we all rejoice. We all care for one another. Some of you in here today are the ears. Some of you may be the eyes. Some of you may be the hands. Some of you may be the legs or the feet. Some of you may not even be visible. Some of the best people, Brother Chris, Brother Richard, I ever pastored and did the most for the church were those people who were hidden behind the scenes, didn't want any credit or pat on the back. Not like a lot that I've pastored who wanted to be in the limelight. But you knew they were there. They were prayer warriors. Some never could visit, get in their car and go visit. Some never could even make it back to church. But if you wanted somebody to pray for you, you'd pick up the phone or go see them because you knew they were prayer warriors. Those little old saints of God who are still there. God has you here for a purpose. We've got to go forward and not look back. Would you stand?